Ajá. Gopina, Gopina, Mama Nivedana, Shuno, Vichai Durjana, Kichunahi. Mora guna Gopinath, Gopinath. So, Gopinath is another name for who?
Krishna.
Krishna. Good. Lord of the Gopis. This is a song by Bhaktivinod Thakur. Bhaktivinod was in Jagannath Puri, and he is considered the pioneer of bringing the Krishna consciousness movement to the Western world. And he predicted that someone after him would come and spread the holy name of Krishna and the message of Krishna outside of India. So that person is A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, who came to America in 1965, and from that for the next 12 years established 108 temples around the world and planted the foundation for his International Society for Krishna Consciousness. So Bhaktivinod has written many songs in Bengali in very simple language so that anyone can understand the essence of Krishna Bhakti. So this song is called Gopinath. He's praying to Krishna in this identity of Gopinath, worshipping Krishna as Gopinath is the topmost platform of Krishna worship. The beginning stage is Madan Mohan, where Krishna is seen as the attractor of Cupid. Everyone in the material world is bewildered by Cupid and the attractions of the material energy, taking the shape ultimately of the opposite sex, or nowadays, for some people, the same sex. But that is all the actions of Cupid. But Krishna, and Cupid is known as Madan, but Krishna is Madan Mohan. He can defeat Cupid. So, in order to get out of the material attraction, we need something stronger than this material illusory potency. Therefore, we worship Krishna. He's all attractive, and he's more powerful than Cupid. So in the beginning stage, Sambandha, where we reestablish our forgotten eternal relationship with God, we worship Krishna as Madan Mohan, so that we reestablish our natural connection. Then the second stage, you worship Krishna as Govinda. Govinda is the one who is known as the functional deity. When you accept a spiritual master and he engages you in Vaidhi Bhakti or practical devotional activities, you're worshiping Krishna on that second stage, Abhideya. and the deity is Govinda. But this song, Gopinath, that's the topmost stage, the stage of Prayojana, the stage of love of God. So Bhaktivinoda is on that stage of love of God. He has gone through the stages of Sambandha with Madan Mohan, Govinda with Abhideya, and now in this song he establishes that he's worshipping Krishna as Gopinath, the Lord of the Gopis. Gopinath, Gopinath, everybody say, Gopinath, 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 everyone, Gopinath, Gopinath. So he says, I have a request, my Lord, my dear Lord, I have a request. Please hear my request. Now, the next thing he says, because Bhaktivinoda, although he is very, very exalted devotee of Krishna, the symptom of an advanced devotee is that the devotee doesn't think he or she is advanced. The neophyte, the Kanishta, is on the lowest stage, but his disease is that although he's in the lowest stage, he's a materialistic bhakta, he thinks or she thinks, I am the most advanced. But the actual uttama adhikari, the topmost devotee, like Bhaktivinoda, he's actually on the topmost platform, but honestly feels that he's the lowest. So he says to Gopinath, I am a sense gratifier. I am a durjana. I am a wicked materialist. And he says, sada kama rata. I am addicted to worldly desires. Kichu nahi mora guna. You will not find in my heart even the least trace of good qualities. So someone may say, why is Bhaktivinoda talking like this? And the reason he's singing like this is he's acharya. Acharya means one who teaches by example. A teacher teaches from the textbook, but an acharya is different. The acharya also teaches from the textbook, but also by his personal example is teaching others how to behave. So Bhaktivinoda, by posing himself, as he said, and it's going to be throughout the whole song, he's just going to be putting himself down. But that is just to teach us how we, neophytes, beginners, how we should think. So we should also think when we approach the Lord, my dear Lord, I am a wicked materialist. I am addicted to worldly desires. I don't have any good qualities. This is how to approach the Lord properly, because the Lord is only concerned with our humble attitude. That is the only thing that we can do to attract the attention of Krishna, is our meek, humble attitude. So Bhaktivinoda is teaching us in this song how we should think and feel when coming in the presence of Krishna. Gopinath, Gopinath, everybody sing. Gopinath, 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 bolo.
Gopinath, Gopinath.
Amara bara satumi, mara charane lainu sharana tomara kinkoro ami balo gopinath. Everybody, gopinath again. Gopinath, gopinath, one more. Gopinath, gopinath. So, as in the first verse, he says, my hope, I have one hope, that you please accept me as your servant. I am taking shelter at your lotus feet. So I beg you to please accept me as your servant. When we chant the Hare Krishna mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare, we are doing the same thing. We are surrendering. We are offering ourselves as servants of Krishna. In many temples, when you enter the temple, they have a bell. And the system is that when you enter the temple, you ring the bell. That signifies to Krishna, Lord, your servant has come. I am now ready to offer you service. So this is the mood of a devotee. The devotee does not ask for anything selfish. The devotee does not pray for something meager like a material desire. The devotee's attitude, no, my Lord, I have come to render service. Because service is the most intimate form. It makes things very nice, most congenial. To render service to someone, that is real love. Many times in my career, I have been asked to speak at weddings or at engagements. So I always point this out to the couple, that you will have a successful marriage if each of you see yourself as the other's servant. The problems arise in a marriage when either party becomes selfish and is thinking, what have you done for me? But if each believes, no, my concern is, how can I serve you? Then that will be a very successful marriage. So the devotee comes before Krishna and only wants to render service. So let's go. There are 8 verses. Actually, there are 24, but we're not going to do all 24. We'll just do 8. So let's do the 3rd verse. You like it so far?
Yeah.
It's okay?
Yes.
Good. Thank you. You make my job easier. So sing with me. Gopinath.
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 Ke mone shodibe more na jani bakati karme jadamati porechi samsara gore Gopinath sing. So every time I say Gopinath, you respond. Gopinath, sing. So we do call and response. Okay, wait. I sing, then you sing. Gopinath.
Gopinath.
Gopinath. Good. We got it down. Good. So, now in the third verse, again, he's humbling himself. He says, my Lord, how is it possible that someone like me will ever be purified? He thinks that he's so low and fallen and sinful that he thinks, oh, my Lord, how will it be possible for me to be purified? Then again, he says, I don't know what is bhakti. I don't know what is devotion. My mind is only thinking of materialistic and fruitive activities, how to enjoy in this world. And somehow I realize that I have fallen into this material existence, which is actually dark and perilous. There is a nice verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Padam Padam Yad Vipadam, that the devotee is saying, my Lord, this material world is such that at every step there's danger. There's no safety or security in this material world. At every step there is danger. How many were here in 2010 for Terremoto? All right. So I was here too. And the amazing thing was that for the next couple of days, because of that Terremoto, my nerves were so shot that any little sound, Hare Krishna, even if the door said, Hare Krishna, because that Terremoto was so powerful that any little thing, I thought, oh, there's another one. And I remember, I think it was the next day, I was in the temple giving class, and then we had another aftershock. And I was, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. So, that earthquake reminds me, yes, Padam Padam Yad Vipadam. At any moment, anything can go wrong. There's no secure, because this world is not Vaikuntha. Vaikuntha is in the spiritual world. This place is Kuntha Loka, full of anxiety. So let's go to verse 4. Remember, I say, you say, Gopinath. 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 Sakali tomara maya. Nahi mama bala. Jnana sunirmala. Swadhi nahe kaya. Gopinath. 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 So, continuing on the previous verse, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, everything here in this material world is your illusory energy. According to Bhagavad Gita, there are two energies, material and spiritual. The material energy is inferior, and the spiritual energy is superior. You and I, Jiva, we are actually spiritual energy, but we have a tendency to be influenced by either the material or spiritual energy. Krishna does not have that tendency. Krishna, or God, has no tendency to be attracted by his inferior material energy. Bhagavad Gita is clear that both energies emanate from Krishna. He has said that several times in Bhagavad Gita. Aham sarvasya prabhava mattak sarvam parvartite. In the Chatushloki of Bhagavad Gita, first statement, Krishna says, everything comes from me. Then in the seventh chapter, he says that whether it be material or spiritual, it comes from me. So the material energy comes from Krishna, yet he has no inclination to come under the control of his illusory potency. Krishna does come under the control of the spiritual energy, yoga maya, which is how the pastimes take place when he comes to this material world. The action of yoga maya makes everything possible. But we, because we are jiva, we have an inclination to be influenced either by the material energy or by the spiritual energy. And that is why we struggle. That is our struggle in this world. Because we're always being pulled and tempted and distracted and diverted by the illusory material energy. And to situate ourselves in the spiritual energy requires great determination. So that is our condition. Because we have that tendency, because we're very minute, we are Anu. Krishna is Vibhu, the great, but we are Anu, atomic. Or I like to say, poquito, poquito, pequeño. We are so tiny, and material energy is all-powerful. Durga is, she is empowered by Krishna. Although she is the illusory energy, still she has great potency, more powerful. So the only way we can, and this is mentioned in Bhagavad Gita, Daivi esha gunamehi, Mamamaya duratiya, duratiya. Insurmountable. It is impossible to cross over the attraction of the material energy other than mam eva ye prapadyante, only by surrendering to Krishna. That is the only way. If I don't surrender to Krishna, then the material energy, duratiya, insurmountable. But if I surrender to Krishna, mayam etam taranti, you can cross over. So that is why Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, surrender. Because Krishna knows, you don't surrender to me, you don't have a chance. Krishna knows because it's his energy. Just like whoever made this computer that I'm using. The person who made this computer knows everything about it because he's the creator. So the material energy emanates from Krishna. He knows the extent of its capabilities. He empowered it. And so when Krishna says surrender, he knows what he's talking about, because he knows, my dear child, living entity, part and parcel of me, the only way you're going to overcome the stringent laws of material nature, and they are stringent, is you have to surrender to me. So Bhaktivinoda is saying, everything here is your illusory energy. And he says, I don't have any strength, I don't have any knowledge. I wish I had some pure transcendental knowledge, but this body is not independent. Krishna is independent. In the first verse of Bhagavatam, Swarat, the Vyasadeva, in that first verse of Bhagavatam, describes the absolute truth. Abhigya Swarat. Abhigya means knows everything, fully cognizant, nothing he doesn't know. and Swarat. Totally, absolutely independent. We're not. We wish we were independent. And Bhaktivinoda is saying, this material body is certainly not independent. If the material body was independent, then if you had some ache or pain, you would just say, stop, no more ache or pain. But no, it's not independent. It's under the control of the modes of nature. Modes of nature are the way the material energy exerts its influence, goodness, passion, ignorance. These modes of nature are constantly in a flux, like waves. So the material body is not independent. We are at the mercy of this material body. And as we grow older, it becomes more and more apparent. So Bhaktivinoda is saying, please, Lord, help me. I can't do this. So he's coming gradually in this song. He's coming to the point of surrender. Because that's what this song is all about. Gopinath. 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 Niyata charane. Shtana Mage Pamala Kandiya Kandiya Korohe Karuna Dana Gopinath Gopinath Gopinath, Gopinath. So now, number five, he is begging. Bhaktivinoda Thakur is teaching us how to approach the Lord. We are beggars. He is saying, I'm begging from you, Lord, an eternal position at your lotus feet. This is humility. That he's going down to the Lord. And he's saying, my Lord, please keep me there at your lotus feet. I'm a sinner. And because I'm a sinner, I am weeping and weeping. Even the great Lord Brahma, when he tried to play a trick on Krishna by stealing Krishna's boys and calves. But then Krishna showed Brahma, don't you think you can test me? So even though Brahma stole all of Krishna's cowherd boyfriends and their calves, Krishna immediately manifested a duplicate set of boys and calves. And he had every detail, how they were dressed, their facial, everything. He cloned every single cowherd boy and calf. And he did that for 1 year. Because that's how long the cowherd boys and calves were hidden by Brahma. So Krishna did that because he didn't want the cows and the boy's mother to be in anxiety. So for 1 year, those cowherd boys and calves, although they were Krishna's direct expansions, they behaved just like each boy and each calf, down to the minutest detail, so that the mothers and the cows didn't know. But there was a difference, because these boys and these calves, they exhibited something that the mothers and the cows, and even the fathers, felt more attachment to these than they normally would to the real ones. And the reason for that is because these were not the boys and the calves, these were Krishna. So Shukadeva Goswami makes an interesting point. The fact that the mothers and the cows and the fathers were more attached to these versions, these expansions, who looked and they didn't know. As far as they knew, these were their sons and calves. But the fact that they were exhibiting more emotions and love for this proves that Krishna is really the object of love for everyone. And it took Balaram almost 1 year to figure it out. Because when this event took place, it was Balaram's birthday. And he was home getting ready for his party. So he didn't go to the forest on that day. But Krishna's potency is so amazing. Balaram didn't see it until almost 1 year, when he saw how the cows were licking the calves and how the cowherd men were smelling the head of their boys and they were crying. And Balaram said, "This is very unusual. What is going on?" So Balaram said, "Krishna, what are you doing? Something's going on here." So then it was revealed, yes, Brahma had stolen the original boys and calves, and Krishna was doing this masquerade. So, after 1 year, Brahma realized that he had tried to play mischief with Krishna. So, after 1 year, Brahma came, and when he was offering his prayers of forgiveness, with his four heads, he was crying. Because he realized he had played mischief with his boss. He shouldn't have done that. He was testing Krishna. He was trying to test Krishna. You don't do that with your boss. That's not a good idea. So when Brahma realized his mistake, he came to Krishna, secluded place, and he bowed down. And with his four heads, he was crying. So the devotee also cries in front of Krishna, realizing, "I am a sinner, I am fallen, I am low. My Lord," now it says here, "please give me your mercy." The devotee can say that because we are Krishna's eternal servant, then we can ask for mercy. Indra, the same thing. When Indra tried to devastate Vrindavan, after Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill for 7 days, Indra himself realized that he had made a mistake. So when Indra came and offered his prayers, one of the things Indra said was, "My Lord, I know that I'm a rascal. I know that I have offended you and your residence, but after all, I'm your servant, so you should be merciful to me." Which is correct, that if you're somebody's servant, and if you surrender, then you can ask, you can expect mercy. Brahma also, same thing, he said that to Krishna. He said, "Yes, I did this mistake, but after all, you're my father." And Krishna said, "How can I be your father? I'm just a cowherd boy." So Brahma said, no, I know. Because I take birth from you as Garbhodakashayi Vishnu. I was born from the lotus stem coming from your navel. And I know that that Garbhodakashayi Vishnu is an expansion of 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 you. So by his great intelligence, Brahma was able to ask forgiveness from Krishna. So he also said, "After all, I'm your servant. So you please give me your mercy." Let's go now to text number 6. Gopinath. Gopinath. Gopinath, Gopinath. Tumito shakali paro durjane charite tomara shakati ke ache papira ara Gopinath Gopinath Gopinath. Okay, now, what is Bhaktivinoda teaching us? He's saying, my Lord, because you are God, you can do anything. So if anybody ever says, I'm God, ask them, can you do anything? If they can't do anything, then don't accept them as God. Because one of the things of God is there's nothing he can't do. So one time, somebody thought they were very clever. So they asked Prabhupada, so you say Krishna is God, and you say that he can do anything. Can Krishna create a mountain so heavy he can't lift it? I think he's very clever by asking such a question. So Prabhupada said, yes, he can make a mountain so heavy he can't lift it, but then the next moment he expands and he can lift it. So that's Krishna, that's God. There's nothing he can't do. He always is beyond any jurisdiction. Again, that word that I mentioned, Swarat, completely independent. Nobody can make Krishna do anything. He is completely independent. So, if Krishna gives his mercy, it's not that somebody can make him give his mercy, because nobody can make him do anything. What's the proof? When Mother Yashoda tried to bind him with ropes, what did she find? How short was it?
Two fingers.
She added all the ropes in the house and it was still?
2 fingers short.
So what was Krishna showing her? If I don't agree to be tied up, you can't tie me up. But then when Yashoda became exhausted, flabbergasted, and the flowers are falling out of her and she was perspiring, and everybody in the village was laughing because they were seeing what was going on. Then Krishna felt, okay, now you can tie me up. So he agreed. Otherwise, no, Krishna is always independent. Same way, when Hiranyakashipu, when he fought with Nisringadev, Hiranyakashipu would capture Nisringadev in his arms, but then Nisringadev would be outside. What? Okay? So, that is God. You cannot capture him unless he agrees. Or another example, when Krishna displayed the pastime of Ranchorji, before he displayed Ranchorji, when Jarasandha attacked for the 18th time, another king, another demon, also attacked Mathura. His name was Kalayavana. So Krishna was on the battlefield with no shoes. And he was just walking nonchalantly on the battlefield. And Kalayavana said, you know, wait, fight, I want to fight with you. And Krishna was just walking, but Kalayavana could not catch him. He tried and tried, but he couldn't. So Prabhupada explains, why? Because Kalayavana was sinful. So because Kalayavana was sinful, there was no way he could touch or capture Krishna. And so Krishna led Kalayavana to a cave. and then disappeared. And when Kaliyavana reached the cave, he saw a sleeping man. So he thought, oh, Krishna's sleeping on the job. So he kicked the man, thinking it was Krishna, because he wanted to fight with him. But it wasn't Krishna. It was Muchukunda. Muchukunda had fought for the demigods. And Kartikeya had given him a benediction. Because Kartikeya is the commander-in-chief of the demigods whenever they fight the demons. So Kartikeya had given Muchukunda a benediction. Okay, Muchukunda, you fought for us. Thank you. You did a good job. What benediction you want? I just want to sleep. Wow. He could ask for anything. But what did he ask for? I just want to sleep. I want to sleep, no interruptions, as long as I want. And if anybody wakes me up, then I want the ability to burn them to ashes. He wanted to really take a rest. So Krishna knew all this. So that's why Krishna led him into the cave. And he knew Kaliyavana is going to do this. So when Kaliyavana kicked Muchukunda, he looked at him and Kaliyavana burned to ashes. Then Krishna comes out and Muchukunda sees him. He goes, you remind me of somebody. I once fought for Lord Ram. And I think you are that same Lord Ram. So then Muchukunda explained who he was. He explained his lineage and he explained his whole story. And then Krishna said, yes, you're right. I am. Me and Ram, we are the same. So then Muchukunda went and he went to a mountain and Krishna said, in your next birth, you will take birth as a brahmana and you will be completely devoted to me. And by being completely devoted to me, you will return to my abode. So Krishna can do anything. So Bhaktivinoda is saying, since you are able to do anything, then certainly you can deliver me. Even though I'm the most sinful, but you can do anything. So why don't you deliver me from my sinful condition? And he says, Papira Aro, you're not going to find anyone more sinful than me. So this prayer by Bhaktivinoda is very intelligently made. Because especially when Krishna appeared as Lord Chaitanya was known as Patita Pavana, deliverer of the fallen. So the devotees would always say, my Lord, you should deliver me because I'm the most fallen. So in the same way, during Prabhupada's time, some of his disciples would try to imitate that. Prabhupada, you should deliver me because I'm the most fallen. And Prabhupada would say, no, you're not. You're not the most anything. You're insignificant. Because as spiritual master, he has to always teach the disciple to remain meek and humble and not try to imitate. So let's go. We have two more verses. And then where's your drum? You ready to go? Okay, give me two more verses. Okay? Gopinath. Gopinath, tumi kripa parabhara, jivera karane, asya prapanche, lila koile subistara, Gopinath. Gopinath, Gopinath, Gopinath. So now he says, my Lord, you are an ocean of mercy. Like there's a prayer, Hey Krishna Karana Sindhu. Very famous Vaishnava prayer that Krishna is an ocean of mercy. And he says, my Lord, you appear, why? You appear to deliver the fallen souls. That's why you appear. So, since you have come to this material world, and in this way, you perform various pastimes in order to deliver the fallen conditioned souls, then please, you deliver me also. I am also a fallen conditioned soul, and you come. That's why Krishna comes. Yes, he comes to kill the demons, but actually, the demons could be killed by the material energy. Krishna doesn't have to kill the demons. They can be killed by Durga Mata herself, because she's all powerful. She has weapons. How many? How many weapons she has? 10. Yeah, that's enough, I think. Right? And there's that picture with that one demon at her foot, right? And she's got, what was that, Mahishasura? Yeah, Hare Krishna. So, Prabhupada says that all the demons can be, there's even that story, that reminds me, the story of Tulsi. So when Lord Shiva is fighting that, I forget the name, the one that was married to Tulsi. So it was explained that Durga Mata, she took that form of, what is that, Kala, what is that one? The form that she's very ferocious? Yeah, Kali. So she took that form and she just opened her mouth and thousands of demons were entering her mouth and she was killing them, and some of them were like hanging onto her lips and she was smashing them, thousands. So she's all powerful, and there's that night. Someday we'll do that, the story of Tulsi. Very, it's such an exciting story, especially the battle, how Lord Shiva kills, what's his name, can't remember the name. Anyway, the idea is that Goddess Kali, she was killing all the demons, simply swallowing them. Huh? No. I can't remember. Anyway, it's okay. Let's do the final verse. All right. Gopinath, 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 ami ki doshe doshi, asura sakala, pailo chalana, dinoda takilo bosi. Gopinath, 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 Gopinath. So, part one ends. He says, my Lord, I am so contaminated with unlimited volumes of sins. But my Lord, you killed, when you appeared, you killed all the demons. When Ram came, he killed all the demons. He said, Bhaktivinoda says, but there's one demon left, me. You have to deliver me from worldly existence. All the demons were delivered when you killed them. So there's one demon who remains in worldly existence. That's me. So you kindly deliver me. Now, let's go. Let's do some kirtan. No? Okay, wait. Everybody chant the Maha Mantra? Everybody?